is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I absolutely love that intro. And guess what? It is Tuesday. So that means I'm on. Your host, Dazzy's here in studio. And today I have a show for you and I need you to participate because we have some things that we need to talk about. So today you're listening to me live. 422-4796 is the text line. I'm going to give it out early because you guys get so upset when you don't get your text in, but you have to send the text in early and I will read it, I promise. So 422-4796, 422-4796. And we're going to be talking about Plan B countries today. Yes, Plan B. What is your Plan B country? If, you know, some sort of devastating climate change catastrophe happens, do you have somewhere else that you can run to? And if so, where is it? That's what I want to know tonight. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because whenever I have conversations with Bahamians that are beyond the rock or persons who are actually on the rock here from abroad, there seems to be a keen awareness that in today's world, a Plan B country is necessary. And I think it's a very interesting perspective shift because I remember not only even 10 years ago, that mindset was only basically relegated to a few people, you know, the top percent, your elite. That was where, you know, conversations like that were common. How many passports do you have, you know, passport by investment, you know, nomadic lifestyles, those sorts of things were popular. But now you are hearing it in all facets of societies. You're hearing the everyday man talk about it and see it basically as a strategy that I noticed has become much more popular commentary, especially since Dorian, especially since what we're seeing in terms of crime, especially since, you know, we have a couple of crises going on. We've got a housing crisis that's happening in the Bahamas, right? It's happening here in the capital. It's happening on some of the family islands. You know, a lot of it is contributed to by, you know, the very popular Airbnb market, which I'm not inherently angry at. I'm not mad at that because, you know, Bahamians do need to make their money. And why not? If you have an opportunity to make extra money from real estate that you own, or if you're doing, you know, like arbitrage, whatever it is, that is your right. However, there still is an awareness because we're not exempt from the problems that happen when companies like this spring up because they're having the same issue in London. They're having the same issue in Chicago. They're having the same issue in Atlanta. And in some countries and states and cities right now, they're actually making a lot of restrictions in terms of the saturation of Airbnbs, right, to the population ratio because the everyday citizens are finding it difficult to find housing. They're finding it difficult to find housing, and then they do find housing, they're finding it difficult to find affordable housing. I know in Lisbon, Portugal especially, it is getting so bad that, you know, things are becoming very hostile for those that are either, you know, new to the country, that are digital nomads coming in, or that own second homes just because their housing crisis is so bad. In some areas, they say, you know, it's gone up, you know, 5-6x. And so when you have developing countries where, you know, the disposable income obviously cannot match that type of very aggressive inflation, you will have a problem. You will have a problem. So you'll find that there's a lot of moving around going on around the world. I mean, it's always been happening, but more so now, more than ever, it's very visible. Obviously, because we're connected by the internet and you can see what people are doing. But you have persons migrating from cities, you know, going to other countries. You have persons taking their dollar where they feel like it's strongest. You have them moving monies offshore. And so you're seeing an intense migration globally where people are going where they think they're being treated best. So if you're a Bahamian and you're listening and you have a Plan B country, please text me and let me know where it is. And what is your strategy to get there? And what will get you there? Would it be a catastrophic event, right? Would it be, I don't know, some other crisis? Would it be the fear of crime? What would it be? I'd like to know. Text me and let me know. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. On the other side, when we take a break, I actually want to play a clip. And it's by a gentleman that I follow on YouTube, because I follow a couple channels where you have Black Americans that move, you know, to Africa. They're moving to places in South America. They're moving to different Asian countries. They're moving to the UK. And they talk about their experiences from a Black lens. And some people may say that's unnecessary, but no, it is very much necessary. If you do not have that skin color, please be quiet. You have no idea what is faced. And, you know, as Bahamians culturally, we are not obsessed with racism. And when I say that, I'm not meaning to be insulting, because obviously I have a huge international listenership and they text in from all over the world. But we are not as keenly aware, because obviously we live in a country that is majority Black. So it does happen in certain instances. But, you know, for the most part, it's not as pervasive and it doesn't permeate every fiber of society like it does in some other places. So because of that, a lot of times I like to hear their stories just to kind of get their perspectives. And you can also live vicariously through them, because a lot of them will blog. I mean, everything from moving day to how it was settling in to, you know, how they went ahead and got their passport, to the transportation in the country, to the taxes. And it can be very, very informative if you like that sort of thing as, you know, hobby watching. So there's a gentleman that I follow, and he went to Ghana. And a lot of Bahamians are going to Ghana right now, which is amazing. I see the trips. Shout out to the Jankunu goddess, right? She's doing a lot. Christopher, he's doing a lot. And I love to see it. Love to see Bahamians traveling. I love to see them, you know, exploring new horizons. This particular gentleman, he went back, I think it was about 6 years ago, and he had so many hopes. So his perspective was, you know, I'm going to go to Ghana. I'm going to, you know, take my resources as a Black American. I'm going to help to develop the country, etc. Now, it may be a bit of grandiosity on his part. Who is to say? I don't know. It depends on your perspective. However, I do believe his intentions are pure. And if you want to actually go on his channel and watch some of the videos, I'm going to give you the name for it right now. It's called The Grandfather of Wisdom. And he opens by saying, you know, it's your man, not your boy, which is hilarious, right? So the channel is called, it used to be called Go Black to Africa. And it's very interesting because I've seen his perspective shift over the years. So he went, you know, fresh, excited, bringing all of his resources halfway in. He started to get a bit discouraged. I mean, at like the 3-year mark. Now at the 6-year mark, he's saying, what is the point? He has become so disenfranchised. He's become so demoralized. He's become just completely jaded in ways that I've never seen before. And he just did a tour, I think it was of a couple of Asian countries. You know, I think he did Thailand, Japan, and Malaysia, and somewhere else. And I think it was Vietnam as well. I'm not 100% sure. But what I found to be very interesting about this entire series is how your perspective changes based on your passport and your privilege. And so his initial perspective was that, you know, the people in this country just didn't have, and I'm talking about Ghana, where he went. He's in Accra. You know, they just don't have certain opportunities. I'm going to help to convey it. Halfway in, it was, they have certain opportunities. Maybe I'm not the right person to help them. 6 years post, it is, these people have a mindset issue. And I cannot help them because they do not want to be helped. And I find that shift to be extremely interesting. So what is your plan B country? Because everywhere you travel, there you go. You cannot escape yourself. You cannot escape your mindset. You cannot escape human nature. People typically kind of are the same. They obviously will have different structures set up based on, you know, their core values and beliefs. So you're going to have some countries that are safer based on, you know, the rights and freedoms that they have. Some countries will be more restrictive, but they may be safer, like a lot of the Muslim countries, which, you know, it's kind of interesting because you don't consider them to have freedom, but they can walk around at 2 o'clock in the morning without, you know, being afraid that someone's going to shove a gun in their face. So what truly is freedom? And do the freedoms that citizens get really afford them the life that they want? That is the question. So on the next side of the break, I'm definitely going to play a clip where he's not really ranting, but he's just saying that this has become the perspective of the people who live there. And one of the reasons I love to watch these channels is because a lot of the things that they complain about in developing countries and third world countries, if you just took out the name of the country they use and you threw Bahamas in there, they could be talking about us. And I think that's important to learn from, because a lot of times we live in a bubble and we think that we are exempt from some of the things that plague other countries. But you find out that, no, we're not so advanced, right? We're not so beyond certain issues because other countries are dealing with the same thing. And when we look at the other countries and the results that they have, based on that same mindset, we are extremely blessed. Because based on a lot of the mindsets that we have, we should not be where we are in terms of the development and the infrastructure that we have. Because it definitely didn't come from the mindset of our people collectively. A lot of it was God-given gifts, you know, natural beauty, proximity to other countries, et cetera, et cetera. And so we have to be extremely aware of how we line up and who our company is, in a sense, and where do we want the country to go. And that is the only thing that's going to fix crime, the mindset of the people. Because we can sit here and talk about crime till thy kingdom come. The people that are doing it, they're probably not listening. They probably don't care. And so, you know, you can rant for 2-3 hours. Again, the root causes are the same. Poverty, that's one of the main root causes. You just look it up. Read any white paper. And so it doesn't make any sense if you build a wall that's 11 foot tall to isolate yourself in, because you still have to drive on the same roads. You have to shop in the same food stores. The island is only 21 miles by 7 miles. And if you're a marathon runner, you will give a different square footage, right? But what are we going to do? There's no way to escape it. And so we have to be aware of this, that there's no escaping it. And so it's just pure delusion if you think that, you know, putting up a higher wall and getting a dog and you know, putting more security measures in place. Do you want to live in a prison in your own country? Is that what we want for ourselves? I don't think so. I don't think anybody wants that. And then when we look at our ranking, some lists have us as high as the 4th most expensive country in the world. So whenever I hear Bahamians complain, well, oh, I couldn't live there because it's probably too expensive. My dear, you can live anywhere you want, and I'm sure you can afford it. Because again, we are ranked on some lists as high as the 4th most expensive country in the world. And what do we get for that value? What quality do we get for that value? Do we get proper infrastructure that works? What is world class? And these are not questions to disparage who we are, but we need to ask ourselves. Because when we talk about this brain drain and our lack of attracting immigrants that we actually want in the country, and when I say that, I mean, obviously, the ones that can contribute in a meaningful way. So I don't think I have to get any deeper than that, because that is what it is. And it's nothing personal, but certain countries try to attract the best and the brightest. So they're like, if you are going to immigrate, we'd like you to have this criteria, this, 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 and this. This is what we prefer. We will rank you on a scale. And if so, come on in. Or you should have this amount in your bank account, et cetera, et cetera. But do we actually have a strategic plan to attract the best? And can they actually be absorbed in the country? Are we too xenophobic to allow? But then on the flip side, when we are not intentional about what we're attracting, what else is coming in? Because I don't know about you, but I watch movies and they always talk about, you know, when they're on some crime spree, they're going to dash off to the Bahamas. And I always respond and say, not a day like it. But again, what do they look at us as? I see your texts coming in. Please go ahead and send them. We're going to do a roll call tonight, obviously. Let me know where you're listening in from. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Text me. Where is your plan B country? Where is it? And why? I would really like to know. I think these are mainstream conversations now. They're no longer ones that were relegated to the elite or the, you know, the very top percentage. These are now mainstream conversations. And it could even be said that being a good parent at this point is equipping your child with an additional option of a passport. That could be a part of being responsible, especially knowing what's happening with climate change, especially knowing, you know, the volatility of the world. I mean, COVID showed us just how the world could change and so quickly, and how certain freedoms and rights could be stripped away. Now, I will say some persons that I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks, their plan B country changed after watching how different governments would have handled COVID. You know, were they draconian? Did they freeze people's accounts? Did they prevent them from leaving the border? Or was there freedom? What was there? How did they handle it? I know one country for sure that handled it extremely badly, but I don't think most Bahamians want to go there in any event. I don't think that's going to be a plan B country for anyone. Because quite frankly, the color that most of us are, they don't really like them over there. So it's not really a plan. But I watched Australia like completely turn into, you know, just, their citizens were jailed and not actually put in jail, but they had some of the most toughest, most stringent lockdown. It blew my mind. Their freedoms were stripped away like nothing. And so you have to watch how your government behaves in situations like that. And yes, governments can change, right? But there's always underlying ways that things like that tend to play out. We can't predict what's going to happen next. We can't predict what the next pandemic is going to be. We can't predict, you know, the next event. I know people try, but we cannot. And if you can predict it, you should be a gazillionaire, because why aren't you using that predict numbers, right? So why are you not using your powers for good? I don't know. I want to take a quick break. And on the other side, I'm going to have that clip for you, because I thought it was very interesting just to hear him talk about it. And he, again, is talking from a place of privilege. He's talking as someone that has a passport from a first world country, which a lot of American citizens are renouncing. So that's neither here nor there. And they all have their reasons. Some of them it's tax. Some of them is, you know, most of them it's tax, right? And, you know, finding other countries that are a better fit, et cetera, et cetera. And so to someone in another country that aspires to move there, they could not fathom giving that up. Like, who did you give it to? Right? So you just give it back to the government, or you get to say, well, hey, you know, I would like to donate this passport. It doesn't work like that, right? It doesn't work like that. And so these are important conversations to have. So please go ahead and text me 242-422-4796. Let me know where your plan B country is. I'd really like to know. And let me know why you chose it. And on the other side, I'm going to go ahead and play this clip of this gentleman and, you know, a little bit of his experience. So please stick and stay. We'll be right back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. Stick and stay.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLImports.com.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible, no more brick and mortar, get digital, SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy to process it seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, plumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You know, and I didn't get no cut of it from my family, and it's part of my land, and I want part of it. I'm not that type of guy. I was not cut from that cloth. Right is right, wrong is wrong. But I understand. I understand because of the fact that you're dealing in a system that is already broken. The system is broken. This is just how a majority of the people behave. It's about trying to get what you think you deserve. Whether it's legal or illegal, it don't matter. And so my thing is this right here, is that the attitude here is that Ghana stole from me, I'ma steal from Ghana.
Yeah, that is a clip that I wanted everyone to hear. Because again, this YouTube channel, very interesting, his perspective over the years. And if you just tuned in, you were listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And we are talking about Plan B countries. We're talking about, you know, immigration and the after effects. We're talking a bit about the brain drain. Just looking at this entire subject from a perspective of what are we going to do? And when I say what are we going to do, I mean on a couple different fronts. What are we going to do? We have a housing crisis. And it's not to knock the persons that are trying to make their money from Airbnb. You know, the cost of everything has gone up. Real property tax is standing on business. People need to pay it. Utilities have gone up. Construction costs have gone up. Property has gone up. Everything has gone up. The cost of living has gone up. And not just in the Bahamas, everywhere in the world. And so as you hear the gentleman talking, he's in Ghana. And he's been there for about 6 years, and his perspective has changed. He went there full of hope, you know, very inspired. He's going to do what he can for the local people, et cetera. And it turned into him being very jaded now. I think he even just changed the name of his channel, because the channel was called Go Black to Africa. And now I see he has it called The Grandfather of Wisdom. And so to me, that's a bit of a giving up. But can you blame him? Because he's describing in that clip what the mentality is. And so how do you fix a nation when you have to fix people's minds? How do you do that? Because again, they are worried about basic needs. You're not going to get a higher level of thought out of people that are worried about basic needs. That's just not how we are designed or wired physiologically. The body has to protect itself. And so protecting itself means food, shelter, etc. A conversation about future planning? Are you kidding? Who cares about that? If they are in survival mode, they do not care. I promise you. And so I'm very irritated sometimes when I read the so-called intellectuals, sometimes in this country, you know, pound their keys on Facebook and calling people, you know, all sorts of things. And it's like, if you were so smart, you would understand that is an incapability because of the mode that they're in. And it doesn't, whose fault it is, we don't have time for that, right? It is what it is. It is what it is. So where's your plan B country? I want you to go ahead and text me and let me know. I'm going to read one of them. So this text says, "Hi, Dazzy. My plan B country is still the US of A. I have a green card and I live here most of the year. Say what you will, but this is still the best place. This is still the best country on earth." Okay, go USA. Good for you, right? So this is the Bahamian sending the text, I'm assuming. So here's another text. "Hi, Dazzy. My plan B company, my plan B country used to be the USA, but now it is in Canada. I've been here now for 4 years, and this is my plan B country." Well, if you're there, I don't know if we could call that a plan B country. I mean, you're really living the plan. So your plan B country may be somewhere else. So this one says, "Hi, no plan B country, but my wife and I started talking about it this year." Good. That's a good conversation to have. It's happening globally. We're seeing migration like never before globally. You've got, you know, American citizens renouncing passports and going to Mexico, going to Portugal, you know, going to other parts of Europe. I've never seen so many. Not publicly telling their stories, at least. And so it's valid. It's not that any country is inherently good or bad, but where's the fit? And if something does happen, where do you go to? And, you know, it seems insane to have these types of conversations, but as we have seen the world change so much that these are just commonplace conversations that I'm hearing daily now. People are talking about it. They're looking up, you know, visas of ancestry. They're looking up, you know, where they can do an investment. And they are actively looking for plan Bs. One of the things that I always find to be very amusing is, you know, whenever you travel as a Bahamian and somebody asks you, "Where are you from?" Now, if they know where the Bahamas is, some people don't. It is what it is. The ones that know, they say, "Well, why would you ever leave?" Right? Why would you ever leave? And I understand. Have you ever seen the commercials that, you know, the Ministry of Tourism puts out? I remember seeing one once and I was awestruck. I was like, "This is gorgeous. Where is this? Beautiful." And then it goes, you know, "The islands of the Bahamas." And I was shocked. I was like, "Oh, okay." But again, different vantage point, different perspective, just different, same place. But are you seeing it from that vantage point? Or are you traversing the city trying to, you know, make a living? Are you seeing it from the ocean side? Is that even your view? How are you seeing it? And so when I want us as a nation to think about where we're headed and what our plan is, we have to be multidimensional in how we look at this. Because if we make here being comfortable for Bahamians that are professionals and want certain amount of opportunities, we don't have to worry about a brain drain because many of them will straddle more than one country. Many of them will leave, or they will leave, go to school, get educated, and come back. And so the question is, why aren't they coming back? And who are we attracting with our immigration policies? Do we want the best and brightest? Or are we just focused on just preventing, right? Which is a knee-jerk reaction. And I mean, that's valid. But again, we have to be proactive. If it's one thing that the end of 2023 and 2024 taught me is two things. Number one is two things. The first one, tell your story. Tell people what is happening. Speak your narrative. I've always known this, but that has been reinforced. Tell your story. That is how you get opportunities. This is how you make sure that your voice is heard in the ways you need it to be. Tell your story. That's one of the first things. The second thing is change is constant, and let nothing surprise you. And if you keep those two things in mind, you're fine. Because at the end of the day, we live in a very different world. I mean, the world has always been volatile from our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. However, the difference is now we have so much information at our fingertips that it can make you literally feel like the world is on fire. I remember reading an article, I think it was about 6 months ago, and it was talking about how being alive now is actually safer than it was millennia ago. And it was talking about, you know, with modern medicine and et cetera, how it's actually safer to be alive now. Now, you wouldn't think so, because you see a lot of times people will post about or speak about, you know, simpler times. And the article is basically debunking how that is, in fact, not true. But again, what is the truth? The truth is perception, not necessarily reality. I guess that's the third thing I learned this year, for sure. And so what are we going to do? Because if we look at the way how our systems run, so the police can only do so much. So that's the first problem, that even in the much or the little that they do, sometimes to get it to that point requires, on the citizen's part, consistent follow-up, right? And so they're overwhelmed, they're burnt out, whatever the story is. And then you take it up a notch further. They've done their job. Now it's time for the attorney general to do their job, their office, the office of the public defender. They have a job to do. They may or may not do it properly. Then what? Do we have slaps on the wrists? What's happening? And so is the system itself encouraging crime? The very system that is supposed to protect the citizens. Who is protected? Is it the everyday citizen or is it the repeat offender? Is it the everyday citizen or the person known to the police? Who is it designed to protect? And so when we look at this thing holistically, we have to look at what kind of country are we cultivating? Because there's no part of our country that exists in isolation, as much as we would like to think it is. And so in that clip, he said, a lot of Ghanaians have that attitude. This is according to him. His channel used to be called Go Black to Africa. It's now called The Grandfather of Wisdom. I think he gave up. I don't think he's advising anyone to go back to Africa. And I wanted to tell him we were never coming, right? We were only coming to visit. And the reason why is because if you read the headlines, and I know Africa has tons of different countries, right? But they're all connected on a landmass. And a lot of the popular ones, they have a lot of the same problems that we have here in the Bahamas and the rest of the Caribbean. A lot of the same problems. Obviously, not everything is the same. But I made it a point to read headlines in three different countries. Kenya, Ghana, and Rwanda. And Rwanda by far was like the easiest one, right? They seem to have it together in certain ways. But after these 24 years of, they call him a dictator, but you know, he has to do what he has to do, right? I'm not mad at it, whatever. I can't get in their business. I wasn't there. You know, I didn't experience what their citizens did with the tragic events that happened. I have no frame of reference, so I cannot judge. But he was intent on cleaning up that country. You know, certain embassies and diplomats he kicked out. You go over there, you get followed. Big brother, the eye in the sky is everywhere. And they feel like they have to do that. And so who is going to take a draconian stand to fix the country? Because I will tell you, that is not an easy stance. And it's a slippery slope. Because if you do that, right? And then you risk destabilizing democracy. That's also not good. So what is required as a solution is the consciousness of the people. How the people think, their mindset. And what is the mindset? Do they feel disenfranchised? Like how he's describing the Ghanaians, where they say, you know, Ghana stole from me, so I'm going to steal from Ghana. Do you feel like the Bahamas has stolen from you, so you're going to steal from the Bahamas? Because, you know, when we do certain things as a people, evading, you know, taxes, not wanting to pay customs, when we do certain things, you're stealing from the country. Why do you feel entitled to do that? Why do we as a people feel like we have the right to do that? Because do we feel subconsciously robbed by the country? And if so, what did the country rob us of? Is it opportunity? Is it safety? Is it a functioning legal system? What is it? Is it proper food? What is it that we feel is the issue? I had a conversation about a month ago with some folks that live here. They're expats. And one of their criteria for them purchasing a home was it had to be within 5 minutes proximity to the airport so that they could get to their private plane. They needed to be able to get there in a flash. And I was like, well, you know, it's a bit dramatic. I don't think that you would ever need to do this. And you know what the response was when I made that comment? Doesn't matter what you think. This is what makes us comfortable. And they have a point. And so when you look at how people think, who are even here enjoying what we have, are they truly committed to the country? Most are not. They are here for the beach, for the libations, the good times, the fellowship. But if you see things were to take a turn, they're gone. As well they should. Not here for a long time, right? Here for a good time. What can we say? And so when we look at where we are and this concept of a plan B country, let me read these other texts. So this text says, my plan B is in God. Very valid. Very valid. That's a valid plan B, right? I'm not going to argue with you. Here's another text. Dazzy, I have three plan B countries. Well, then you have plan B, C, and D. Text back and let us know the three and why. Why are you picking these particular three? I would really like to know that story. And how are you doing this? Are you purchasing passports? Oh, I'm sorry. We're not supposed to use that terminology. Are you investing sufficiently in a country that will allow you the privilege of accessing residency or a passport in exchange? What is it? Tell me the plan. I'm very curious to know. I want to take a quick commercial break, and I need you to stick and stay because on the other side, we're going to dive a little bit deeper and we're going to wrap up this conversation. So you're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Please stick and stay, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible. No more brick and mortar, get digital. SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy, the process is seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. So if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house, FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy, and we are having a conversation tonight. It looks like we have a caller. Let's take this caller very quickly. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Dazzy. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. Just give me a second. Can I reach this radio?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, please turn that down.
Okay, yes. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't catch the entire show. I came in when you were talking about the gentleman... The Black Africa?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out if you're talking with his name, brother. I mean, I haven't watched him for a while, but is that the one who says, your boy, I mean, your man, and not your boy?
Right, that's exactly him. You need to catch up and see what's going on with him.
And you say he gave up on Africa?
He looks like he has given up, yes.
Wow,
yes.
Wow. I mean, that is, I have to go and see what's going on because, I mean, he was really... one who seemed to really, encourage the individuals to go there. I mean, he really used to put forward a good case.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's troubling.
Yeah. Go ahead and catch up with the channel. He's changed the name of the channel. So if you try to find him, you'll have to now type in the Grandfather of Wisdom.
The Grandfather of Wisdom.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. I definitely will do that. But one thing I must mention is that, well, I mean, I still intend to go to Africa because, I mean, this little place we live in is too small.
No, well, we got to visit. Are you going to move there?
Permanently.
Permanently, yeah. Where?
Yeah, I want to live there. I mean, because I still feel as if Brother Kalfani, I don't know if you know Brother Kalfani.
Yes, I remember him.
But, yes. Yeah, Brother Kalfani is still an inspiration because, I mean, he wasn't one who was doing so bad here.
No, I feel like his ancestral memory called him.
Yes, I mean, because he was a good businessman, and I mean, he was well known, so he had a life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So to say, leave that behind, leave this behind and go there.
Right.
It says something about the place to me.
It does.
You know, so I mean, I feel as if that is something I always consider, that he he went there and he saw something that was better and he left. Yes. You know what I mean? You know, so, but I feel as if though, Daz, that it takes us to be uncomfortable for change to come though.
Agree.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, that comfortable can lead to complacency.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, you know, they call it growing pains. You know, so I mean, so in order for things to happen sometimes it all has to fall apart and then something else has to be rebuilt.
Absolutely.
You know, because, I mean, I look around and, like, living in this country is really, for a thinking person, living in this country is a very frustrating thing.
It can
because,
be. Agree.
Because you can't, it's impossible to make sense of what is going on, you know? And it seems as if no one really has integrity. It seems as if no one really cares about the we. Everyone only cares about the me, you know? So, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm sorry I didn't catch the entire show. So I just wanted to say, just make one or two comments and, you know, let you know that I always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I respect your level of intelligence, but I disagree with you on the capitalism thing, though.
Yeah. Why do you disagree?
I think capitalism is wrong.
In its totality?
I think the whole principle of it. I mean, the whole basis of it being introduced is not something that was based on really the benefit of the people, but more or less the benefit of business and profit.
Right.
You know, and it's a system where profit is the end goal, so people will do anything for it. I prefer a system where the satisfaction of people or the best interest of everyone is the main goal and over you know, money.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I don't. Do you feel that human nature can support that though? Because from the beginning of time, humans have driven us towards capitalism. Do you think that humans are able to live for the betterment of everyone and, you know, kumbaya and just be content? Do you think that's possible?
Yes, I think that's possible, guys. I think the problem is that we have been exposed to just one reality. You know, so sometimes when you are exposed to only one thing, it's impossible to even imagine something different, you know? But, I mean, you know, you cannot forget that we Africans, at least African people, have a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. So we have an idea, a concept of oneness and togetherness and community. You know, we live in tribes, et cetera. So it is possible, like I said before, though, the problem is that we have been exposed to this Western lifestyle of individualism. And it's all about satisfying oneself because, you know, we are all judged based on material things rather than who we are and stuff like that. You know, but as long as we get back into a community where material things are not something that we desire or that we see as our value and we see each other as that, then we could do that. And I think that's possible. It's all about a different type of exposure, and environment, and education, and it can be done.
All right.
But I want to wish you all the best in the show.
Thank you.
And like I said, I enjoy listening to you, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your support.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Have a good one. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. You know, I used to believe similar, and the problem is, once you live on a financial planet, unfortunately, you know, you just can't escape certain things. And I don't really like the Western world in terms of its principles and its morals and its values. I feel it's, you know, extremely decayed in a lot of ways, and it's unsafe, especially for women and children. Completely unsafe in a lot of ways. However, what are the alternatives? You know, and so you get to cultivate what you want from your country. And so I believe that, you know, Africa should be visited. All of the countries from West Africa straight down to South. I'm not going to stay too long in the South, but it's worth a visit. The Middle East, worth a visit. You should be able to see Oman. You should go to the UAE, you know, and see all the different Emiratis, right? You go to Abu Dhabi. You should go to Dubai. You know, you should go to Sharjah. You should go up to Qatar, you know, visit Doha. You should do all of this. See the world, right? I believe in that. I think it's important to have different perspectives. But again, wherever you go, there you are. And so I believe that the greatest change is not necessarily location, but location does help. Because we as humans tend to conform to our environment. Let me tell you one of the things that I find extremely irritating about the Bahamian community at large and who we are as people. The bar is set so low for aggressive mediocrity sometimes that anyone who tries to rise above that, the barest of minimums, is seen as an anomaly. And so you have certain things that are just normalized here, right? Vices. That is ridiculous. Come on, what are we doing? Are we NPCs? Are we non-player characters that are just functioning on an algorithm without, you know, lacking any conscious thought? Are you destroying your body with food and liquor and then praying to God that it's your ailments are going to go away? Like, we have to be a little more cognitively aware as people. And I know it's hard because when you're programmed up until age you're 7, you're going to follow. But we have free will. And every time you remember your free will, remember that you can just drive to the bakery and buy a cake, right? We have free will. You can do whatever you want. You can lay down in the middle of the road if you want. We have free will. You can do whatever you want. What conforms you? Expectations, societal, you know, pressure. And so if you live in a society where the bar is extremely low and expected behavior is nothing, you have a hard time because you will be seen as an anomaly. And psychologically, we want to belong and we want to conform because that's what keeps us safe. Because our limbic brain, the lizard brain part of us, want safety, and safety comes from acceptance in a tribe, or else you're going to be left in the jungle alone to be killed. We are not that evolved. We are still functioning on these feet, on, you know, we're still functioning with these features. And so what do we do? It's nice you have to go in an environment where the standard for success and behavior and everything else is, you know, is at its peak, and not where mediocrity and low achievement is considered to be the norm, right? And anything outside of that is considered to be an anomaly. And God forbid, don't marry someone like that. Don't pair yourself, right, with a mentality like that, because you're going to be in trouble. This is not a country where you can get a no-fault divorce, right? Very archaic laws. And so you have to be very wise and live very intentionally in this environment. For the first half of my life, I did not. That's why I can speak on these things. I did not live intentionally. I know that. I went on programming and functionality and what people said. And when I see these people now, I'm like, why would I ever listen? What did Kanye say? Why would I listen to you? But you know, when you make decisions before your frontal lobe develops, boy, you get yourself in some trouble. I'm telling you. And that develops around 25. So we have to be aware. We have to live consciously. And there's no excuse now. There's no excuse now. There's a little bit of an excuse then. There was not as much information. But now, it's just willful ignorance if you're ignoring. So let me read a couple more texts. So this one says, Dazzy, my plan B is the U. My plan B, C, and D is the UK, Spain, and Taiwan because of family ties and opportunity. All right. Excellent. Good for you. Here's another text. Listening in from Carmichael Road. Thank you so much. This one here. Hi, Odaz. I'm tuned in from Seattle. Yes, I'm Bahamian. Well, hello to you. Thank you for tuning in. I don't think I've seen your text before. Listening from the Windy City, Dazzy. Okay. I hope you're enjoying it. What is the temperature like right now? I know it's very cold. Checking in from my London flat. Thank you so much for tuning in. This one here, text to this got cut off. I don't know what the end of this is. It just says, hi, Dazzy, I, and then there's nothing. So please try to send that text again so I could go ahead and read it. And so I'm very glad that the caller called in because that channel is so niche. Like, you always wonder what part of the internet people live in, right? And that is a very niche part of the internet, but I enjoy his channel. He only has, let me see. I can't believe it. He only has 3.6 thousand subscribers. That blows my mind. Because he has so much profound wisdom on that channel. But it's extremely niche. And what I like about watching and, you know, living vicariously through others, they are sharing everything. You know, they're vlogging everything. They're taking you right through the journey. And if they're honest, they're not sugarcoating it. They're telling you, you know, the good, the bad, the whole spectrum. And so that helps us, even if you live here, to form a greater worldview and not just consume what is in front of us that sounds like us, that looks like us. Other perspectives, There's another channel I like. I'm going to recommend it. Nomad Capitalist. So I listen to like 70% of the things he says, and 30% I have to discard because he has a different experience with a different passport and presenting as a different human in this world. So he will sometimes recommend certain things and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I will type in, how is it to be, you know what, in this country? And you see some different perspectives. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So there's so much information that we have no excuse at any point for ignorance. I do understand, though, that basic needs need to be tended to. And I do understand that we live in a country where there's crises. There's a housing crisis. There's a cost of living crisis. There's several things that are brewing. And if you want to live in a certain environment, you're not going to do that without a five-figure month income. It's just not going to happen. And so what happens otherwise? People start to conform to the environment. And so how do we fix it? And so that clip that I played that was so profound where he said the Ghanaians feel like Ghana stole from me and I'm going to steal from Ghana. We cannot allow ourselves to be sucked into that trap. I would rather you leave and contribute on the other end than to get sucked into that. Because you're only hurting yourself. It is not for the development of the country. And so what is our development plan as it relates to immigration? Because if the brain drain is leaving, who are we trying to attract to come in? Because people are not going to be attracted to being on some list one of the fourth most expensive countries in the world. And what are you getting value for that? You know, day-old food, shoddy infrastructure. What are you getting? Let's have a reality conversation. But you are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Thanks for sitting with me. Thank you so much for your text. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for the congratulations. I appreciate it also. Not going to read all of those, but thank you. And so next week, we're going to have a conversation and a guest. Stay tuned. Follow Beyond the Rock on Facebook. You will see the flyer posted to know who we're talking to. But I appreciate you so much. Stick and stay and be safe. Talk to you next week. We'll be right back.